Today's daf is Me'ila Daf Yud. We're going to start at the top, three lines from the top, Amar Rava. Hakol Modim, everybody agrees, She'im Nehenneh Mibasar Kodshei Kodashim Shenitma. Now there's a problem with the Girsa. Is it Kodem Zrika or after Zrika? Okay, so you take Basar Kodshei Kodashim, and now it becomes impure. So if you get Hana'ah from them, we're going to see, okay, I'm not going to read into the end yet because there's another phrase, but you're going to be patur. Okay, why is that? Remember we said, basar kodshei kodashim, generally it's me'ila until what point? Until it goes to the Beit HaDeshen, right? You have to burn it, then you have to do the ashes, then you have to remove the ashes. And then, but in this case, right, well again, basar kodshei kodashim also if it's, the basar is actually right. It's zrika. You're going to be allowed to eat the meat. Now, in this case, and then me'ila is going to leave. But in this case, me'ila doesn't leave because it became impure. It can't be eaten by anybody. And you don't. What they're going to say is you don't need the last stages of burning it. Now, once it becomes tameh, you are supposed to burn it. But they don't consider that part of the avodah of the korban because now the korban is no good. It's disqualified. So at that point, you're done with the korban and the things that need to be done for the korban. You still have to burn it because it became tameh, and things that become tameh have to be burned. But they say also you don't need big day kahuna to do it, so it's clear it's not really an avoda. And what else is going to be patur? Imurei kodshim kalim la'achar she'elan. Now, if you remember, we said the parts that have to be burned of kodshei kodshim and other things, we have to wait until the ashes burn, they do the Truman Adeshen, and they're motziah to the Beit Adeshen. But kodshim kalim don't have that same laws relating to it. It's not as critical that this has to be brought. It's not part of the mitzvah. And therefore, as soon as you put it on the mizbeach, it doesn't even have to fully burn. It's already, you've done the mitzvah. The mitzvah is put it on the mizbeach on the fire. When you get it on the fire, you're finished with the mitzvah. And therefore, you're going to be patur. So the Gemara now says, pshita, what Rava said is pretty obvious. Maika mafsid. He's not being mafsid anything by using these items because they're already, the mitzvah's been finished. So they say, well, mahu detema basar kodshei kodshim shenitma eat le mitzvah sreifa lekohanim and imurei kodshim kalim ika mitzvah lahafuchei betzinura kamash malan delo. Each of these still have something left to do after this. The kodshei kodshim, as I said, need to be burned because they become impure. And the imurei kodshim kalim, theoretically, you're supposed to flip it with a fork to help it burn quicker. But those, so because you still have something to do, you might have thought, therefore, they still have a din of me'ila. But that's why Rava comes to teach you. No, these aren't critical parts of the mitzvah. Amar Rava. Now Rava goes back to the statement we saw before. Okay, we read the Braita at the bottom of the page yesterday, which said that, let's start with the Tanya Kavateh de Rav. We'll just review a little bit of it. It was all about what you do with the money of Me'ila. Okay, so about 10 lines, 15 lines from the bottom. Ha-nehenem midmei chatat u'midmei asham, ad shelo kirva chatato, right? If you haven't yet brought your korban chatat, yosifi yobi chatato, right? You'll take the money, and you'll purchase a korban chatat with the me'ila money, with the me'ila plus the chomesh. And same thing with the asham. But karev chatato, if you already sacrificed the chatat, then yalchul yam ha-melech. Right? Then what do we have to do? If it's the chatat, we bring it to yam ha-melech. If it's the asham, we let the animal graze. We take the money, and then we buy nidava from them. Because, again, both of those, in a case where you've already received atonement, then, and there's two animals, right? Again, the chatat has to be left to die, so therefore, the parallel here is take the money and throw it in Yam HaMelech. You can't let money die. That's the best way to let money die. Put it in Yam HaMelech, in the Dead Sea, and if it was an asham, since an asham, you would leave the animal to graze if you had two korbanot for the same, two animals for the same korban, and one already achieves atonement with one, then the other one is left to graze, and then you replace it, you redeem it when it gets a mum, and then you take the money and you buy korbanot nidava with it. So here also, you just take the money and buy korbanot nidava. Again, because it's not an animal, you're missing the in-between stage of leaving it to die or leaving it to graze. Okay, so now, Amar Rava, Hada amart kfar kerva chatat yochul yam ha-melach, hanemile, this is only if, de'it yadale kame kapara. It's only if you found out that you did me'ila before they already sacrificed the real chatat. Okay? And it's what happens here? You took this animal, you used it. Okay, the animal was hektesh, you used it. Now what do you have to do? You have to replace it and theoretically bring a korban chatat. But what's another possibility that could have happened? There's two more possibilities we're going to discuss. One is you realized you did me'ilah, but in the meantime, before you did that, you already designated a different animal to be sacrificed for the chatat. Because this animal is no longer, or this money that you had, right? In this case, it was an animal or money, right? It was money. You set aside money for a korban chatat. Then somebody used it, okay? So now the money's not there anymore. So you separate new money and you bring a korban chatat. Then, but before you sacrifice it, let's do option number one. Before you sacrifice it, you've realized that you've misused the money, you, somebody else. In other words, maybe, right, they didn't realize right away. So if there's no other animal that they brought, so you use the money, you have to replace that money. Whoever used it has to replace that money. Take that money, go buy an animal with it. But if already an animal was bought and it was already sacrificed, okay, there's two options. It was either bought and not yet sacrificed or bought and sacrificed. So if it was bought and not yet sacrificed, so theoretically, either you can buy with this money or you can use the money it was bought. Either which way, you're going to end up with money that's left to go nowhere because you can't have two. Both those monies were sanctified for one korban. So what they're telling you now is that when we said Yahuli Amamelach, that was only in the case that I described where you realized you did me'ilah or someone did me'ilah before that other animal was actually used as a korban. But if, let's say, the money was used, gone, you didn't realize anyone that was money. You forgot that you designated the money. Whatever it might be, you don't realize me'ilah had happened. So the money was designated, the money was used. New money was brought, new animal was brought, sacrificed. Now you realize, oh, I was over on me'ilah. Okay, so what do? Now, theoretically, you should take the money and buy a korban, but you're not going to buy a korban with it because the animal was already used. In this case, you don't send the money to Yam HaMelech. In this case, you give the money and it'll go to the Beit HaMikdash for korbanot. Why? Because if it yadi lekame kapara, right, then it goes to Yam HaMelech. Aval la'achar kapara yiplu l'nidava, you're going to put those in the kupa of the Beit HaMikdash to buy korbanot nidava, my taima, ein mafrishim mitchila li'ibud. You can't designate money for something when you know I'm putting it straight in the garbage, basically. Okay, here it's worse than the garbage. It goes to Yam HaMelech. There's no such thing as doing that. When I brought it earlier, so there was potential for me to sacrifice it. Even if I had already separated money for another korban, at least these two could potentially, and then one could be used, the other one not. But I can't, or maybe I did it before some other animal got designated. But once it's already done, it's a done deal, and the sacrifice has been done, and then I find out, oh, there was me'ilah here, then I'm going to actually just take the money and put it right in the Beit HaMikdash and not to Yam HaMelech. Okay, new Mishnah. Hakometz v'halvona v'aktoret u'minchat kohanim u'minchat kohen mashiach u'minchat nesachim mo'alim behem mishu k'deshu. Okay, so now we're continuing our list of all these things and what happens at every stage. Okay, this is the kometz, the part that burns on the mizbeach from the mincha offering, the livona, which gets offered up as ketoret, the ketoret, the minchat kohanim, this is the mincha that a kohen offers a nedava. We said kalil tiyah, the entire thing gets burned. Okay, these are all things that entirely get burned. Uminchat kohen mashiach. And the mincha, if you remember, the Kohen Gadol has to bring a minchat chavitin every day. It's one of the reasons why they said the Kohen Gadol has to be wealthy so he can afford to bring this every single day. And he brings one in the morning, one in the afternoon. And the minchat nesachim, this is the mincha that goes together with korbanot. Mo'alim behem mishu hukdashu. So as soon as they were hukdashu, they have a din of me'ilah because they're all kodshei Hashem, right? They all get burned in the mizbeach. Kidsham bikli, as soon as you sanctify them in a kli sharet, right, our sentence we always say. At that point, once they go into kli sharet, then they can become tamei, impure from a tful yom or a mechusar kippurim coming in contact with it. Uvilina, and if it's left overnight. V'chayavin alav mishum notar. Now you're expecting, right? No, pigul, notar, and tamei. Notice they skip pigul. Okay. Chayavin ala mishum notar, if it gets left over, you'll be chayav. Umishum tameh, if it comes impure. Upigul aimba. But all of these things don't have pigul, and now we're going to learn what's the difference between these items and things we discussed previously. Zeha klav. This is a klav. Maybe you remember this when we learned pigul. Kol sheyesh lo mitirin, ein chayavin ala mishum pigul v'notar v'tameh, ad shi yakrivu mitirin. V'chol she'ein lo mitirin, kevan shekidesh b'kli, chayavin ala mishum notar v'tameh, upigul aimba. All the cases, if you remember, what did we keep saying all along? That pigul, you only are going to get karet with pigul when you sprinkle the blood. Why is that? All the things that you get pigul for, what do we say? They are things that they're not allowed until something happens. That's what's called yesh lo mitirin. It means there's some act that has to happen that then is going to enable you to eat whatever there is. So, let's give an example. The koche koche. When you sprinkle the blood, that's the act that enables you to eat the meat. Before that, the meat is koche Hashem. There's some act that matirs it. Okay? That's called a shtavar. It's a yesh lo mitirin. And all those things that yesh lo mitirin, that there's something that enables you to eat it, that is only going to be pigul. The din of pigul is only going to apply when the matir happens. And that's why zrikat dam enables all sorts of things. And therefore, in all the korbanot that we saw, right, the zrikat dam is what enables you, or the mitzoy, or the hazaah, is what enables you to, or the burning of the kmitza enables you to eat the shiraim of the mincha offering. But what's unique about all the following things in our Mishnah? There's ein lo mitirin. There's no act that enables you to burn them. The kometz gets burned. The livonah gets burned. The ketoret gets burned. It's not like you do zrikat dam and then that enables you to burn this. No. All these things, the mincha kohen, all of the following things, first of all, notice there's no blood associated with them at all. There's no matir for them. Because there's no matir, so all the things that doesn't have a that don't have a matir, there is no din of pigul. Okay? And that's why, so all these things don't have a din of pigul, but you are chayav mishum notar in tameh. So now the Gemara is going to bring a braita to support the fact that there's no that there is a din. Now, if you remember, okay, and this is probably why they have to say this, if you remember, that we learned, we talked about this the other day, that pigul, notar, and tameh, right, they all get... We learn all sorts of things, notar from pigul, and then tameh from notar. So one might have thought, if all of these things, she'ein lehem mitirin, that don't have anything that enables them, like the kometz and the levona and all the minchas that get offered entirely, so if there's no din of pigul, maybe there wouldn't be a din of tameh. Okay, they're going to ask specifically about tameh, not about notar. Or I guess notar also. So minan emile, right? Rashi says, where do we know that notar and tameh, you're going to be chayav whether or not it's a davar she'esh lo mitirin or it's a davar she'ein lo mitirin. Tanu rabanan. So here's a braita that's going to prove it. Yachol en chayavim mishum tuma ela b'davar she'esh lo mitirin. You might have thought tuma, right? You're only chayav again. It's the chiyuv karet. Obviously, it's going to be disqualified if it's tameh in either case. But maybe you wouldn't have a chiyuv karet by tuma. And it would be logical. Why? Uma pigul shehu biyidia achat v'korbanot kavua v'lo hutar michalalo. We'll go back to what all these things are in a second. Ein chayavin alav ela al davar sheyesh lo mitirin. Okay, pigul. What does it mean? Yesh lo biyidia achat. Okay, you're going to have to see this compared to the tameh. But what does it mean? Yidia achat. It means you find out at some point that you did pigul. Okay, so. You only need to, that's what happens. There's a pigul machshava. Let's say you didn't realize that pigul was asur. You didn't realize that you had even a pigul machshava. I don't know how you didn't realize, but some sort of shkaga. And then you find out that you messed up the korban. So that's yidiachat. It's going to be pigul if that happens. Vik korbano kavua. If you do pigul, bishogeg, what are you going to get? You bring chatat. It's not, we always say, what does it mean kavua? It means it's not the olevi yored, that you have different things depending on, you bring different animals or birds depending, or a mincha depending on how wealthy you are. This is a korban kavua. V'lohu tar michlalo. There's no heter for pigul, right? Which, if you see the opposite, right? Tameh, when we get to the tameh, we all know that tameh, tumah hutra b'tzibur. If the majority of the people are tameim, there's a heter for it. So, all these three things are not going to be true for Tumah. Okay? There's one Yediyah already makes you Chayav. The Korban is Kavua, which means it's more strict. And Lo Hutar Mechilah, there's no Hetcher for it. All those three things show it's strict. And yet, Ein Chayavin Ela Al Davar Sheyesh Lo Mitirin. And yet, it's limited only to something that has a Matir. So Tumah, Shehi B'Shtei Yediyot. Okay, what's Shtei Yediyot? If you remember, we learned this a while ago. The Tumah, you have to know that there's Tumah B'Tchilah and Tumah B'Sof. That means, when you chayav a korban, okay, what a korban chatat? Which chatat you chayav in tumah? That was one of the list of the olevi yored. So that's already going to get us to the second one. It's not kavua, it's olevi yored. And the darshan from the psukim there that you have to have had, you have to have had known that you were tameh before, or that you know tameh is a problem. You had to have some yidiyah before. Then you forget, and then you find out that you were tameh, right? Let's say the classic example would be, I was tameh. I forgot I was tameh, right? Classic, we forget things all the time. Forgot I was tameh. I go into the mikdash, and then, you know, and I touch the meat. And then, all of a sudden, right, it could be going into the mikdash, could be touching meat, whatever it was, meat that was kutching. And then I leave, right? Then I leave, or then I finish, whatever. And then someone says, oh, do you remember you were tameh? Or I remember later, oh, I was tameh, I can't believe I did it. That's when you're chayav a korban olev yored for tumah. So, therefore, we're going to compare now. So again, in Pigul, you only need one yediyah. At the end, you find out, did you know Pigul was Asur? Did you know that was Pigul? Tumah, Shibishtei Yediyot, V'Korban Olev Yored. So now we know where they're going, right? There, it's not a Chatak Pua, it's a Korban Olev Yored. V'Hutra Michlala, and it's Hutra B'Tzibur. So Tumah has those three kulas. So wouldn't you say, Eino din shelo yehe chayav ela al davar sheyesh lo mitirin? So wouldn't you think then that you'd only be obligated in a korban tameh, the chiyuv karet, if it was something that had a matir? In which case, our Mishnah would read the komet, the levona, the ktoret, the mincha konim, the mincha konim mashiach, the mincha nesachim, all of those that get burned entirely on the Mizbeach and have no matir, nothing that has to be done in order for these to happen, no enabler, those theoretically then, if there's no pigul, then there should be no tameh. And the assumption is also no tar would go along with that. Talmud Lomar, we have a pasuk. Okay, here's our pasuk. It's a pasuk, Vayikra Kaf Bet Gimel, and more, it's about, the context is tuma, and more alehem ledorotechem, anyone who gets close to the kodashim, right, the mead, or any kind of kodashim, asher yakdishu b'nei Yisrael l'Hashem b'tumato alav, and he has his tumah upon him, b'nechreta nefesh ha'im l'fanai ani Hashem. So what does it say there? B'chol ha'kodashim ha'katuv medaber. Notice it said, ela kodashim. It said very generally, any kodashim. Okay, so therefore they assume any kodashim, whether they have mitirin or whether they don't have mitirin, you're going to get karet for being impure, right? If you eat it impure, if the meat became impure. Okay, now the drasha is going to continue, though. Yachol yuhu chayavim alayhem miyad. You might have thought you're chayav immediately. Tamud lamar, asher yikrav. Okay, asher yikrav, what are they darshan? It means, now they're going to say, Amar Rabbi, let's go on and understand this Asher Yikrav. Now, what does it sound like? Kol ish Asher Yikrav mikol zarachem ala kodashim. What does it sound like? Yikrav? If you get close to the kodashim. Now, it doesn't mean, okay, I'm here and it's there and I got close to it, right? Like you're playing hot and cold and you're getting hot, you're getting close. No, no, no. What would you assume getting close means when it comes to the world of Tumah and Tahara? Touching it. Yafet. So now they say, okay, so the pshat of Yikrav is touching it. Amar Rabbi Elazar b'chiyesh nogeh shu chayav. What is somebody touches kodashim, you get karet for it? No, it's usher to touch kodashim. You're not supposed to contaminate, by touching it while you're impure. But you don't get karet for that. You only get karet for eating it. So why does it say asher yikrav? Now yikrav, when it comes to korbanot, can mean two different things. Yikrav, get close and touch. Or sacrifice something. So what do they say? Haketzad. Kol davar sheyesh lo mitirin eino chayav ad sheyikrevu mitirin. If it has mitirin, you're only going to be chayav ad sheyikrevu mitirin. Bechol davar sheein lo mitirin eino chayav ad shekadesh bekli. Now instead of saying, well, if yesh lo mitirin, okay, so what are they saying basically? Let's just go through. if it has a matir, right? Like zrika, matirs the meat to be eaten, right? So, if the meat became tameh, when are you going to be chayv tumah? Only when yikrav mitirav. When the zrika happens, then you're going to get chiyuv karet. So if you ate the meat before zrika, we already learned this, right? You don't get karet for it. So they learn from the word yikrav that if there's something to be nikrav to enable you to eat this, then you're only going to be chayv karet for eating it if the yikrav had happened. It makes sense also because theoretically it's only when you're allowed to eat it and yet you ate it in a way that you weren't allowed to eat it. Follow, right? Like normally the meat is allowed after zrika, and in this case, it's true the zrika allowed the meat, but the meat was already impure, it was tameh. And since it was tameh, you're not allowed to eat it. So when there's a parallel where you could have eaten it, and now you can't eat it because of some problem, that's when you're going to get the karet. But if you ate it before anyone was ever allowed to eat it, that's not going to make you get karet. But what about a case, now, which we just said, if ein lo mitirin, there's nothing that matures it for eating, because just the entire thing gets burned. So in that case, you need a parallel for what's the stage that's going to make you chayav. So there, the stage that's going to make you chayav is not, now it's interesting, it's not what matirs it, it's what forbids it. It's what's going to forbid it? When it becomes sanctified in a kli sharet. Before it becomes sanctified in a kli sharet, remember, there's the stage of hukdishu. Now it is already hekdesh at that point. It's kodshei Hashem, but it's not enough to make the chiyuv karet kick in. You're going to need the kiddush b'kli sharet, right? The fact that it goes into a kli sharet, that's going to be the thing that's parallel to the matir in all the other cases. Okay, so basically this Mishnah discussed a different category than we saw before. This Mishnah was all about things that don't have anything that matirs them. All the other cases before were something that had a matir, and that's why what we kept saying in all the cases was when you do the zrika or the hazaah or the mitzoy, that's what causes the karet to kick in and the notar and tameh. And here we see that the matir is the kiddush b'kli sharet. However, since there's a special unique law by Pigul that it only applies to something that has a matir, therefore none of these have a din of Pigul. Okay, Hadron ala Chatata Of. We'll start now the next parak. We'll do the Mishnah and Gemara to the top of Yud Aleph Amud Aleph. Okay, Vlad Chatat Utmurat Chatat veChatat Shemetu Baalea Yamutu. Okay, let's stop for a minute. These are the five chataot hametot, but they split them into three and two. That's why I wanted to read a little bit further. So if you remember, we talked about all sorts of korbanot chatat, that if you designate them for a korban chatat and something happened, which we'll talk about five possibilities, then you have to leave that animal to die. But we're going to see a distinction between the first three and the second two. So a vlad chatat, if you designate an animal for chatat, and that it was a pregnant animal, and that animal, or it became pregnant after, and that animal had offspring, that offspring has to be left to die, because it's already got kedusha of chatat, but can't be brought as a chatat because the mother is. Utmurat chatat, again, if you do a substitution, this brings us back to tmura, if you do a substitution for that chatat animal, which you're not allowed to, right, but it's effective, so that's effective, however, it can't be sacrificed because the chatat was already brought, and therefore it has to be left to die. V'chatat shemetu ba'aleh. By the way, we say we learn these all halacha l'moshe m'Sinai, these five things. Shemetu ba'aleh. Okay, if the owner died before sacrificing the animal that the owner already designated for korban chatat, then it has to be left to die. The son can't do it for him or something like that. Or someone else who needs a chatat, let's say, you would think maybe, but no. V'she'ibra, now we're on the second category. She'ibra shnata. Chatat has to be within the first year. So if the first year passes, and let's say you designate it, had to be designated when it was still in its first year, but before you actually sacrificed it, it became, went into its second year. V'she'avda, v'nimtseit ba'alat mum, if it got lost, and then when you found it, it was already blemished. So now, those two things depend on the following. Im mishekipru haba'alim tamut, veino setmura. Okay, if the owners had already gotten atonement for it, okay, this is what we call chatat shenitchapru ba'aleha, right? They already received atonement from a different animal, right? If ibrashnata, or it gets lost, And then they atone with a different animal, because they you know, it's either they can't use that animal because it's too old, or they lost it, so they bring a different one. Then, tamut ve'ena oset tmura. Okay, then it's left to die, and tmura is ineffective because it's no longer anything that can be sacrificed. So there's no such thing as a substitution on that. Ve'lo nehenin ve'lo mo'alim. Now we're going to learn that there's an isur de rabbanan on these. Okay, meaning there's no din of me'ila anymore. However, the rabbis forbade us from getting benefit from it. Ve'im ad shelo kipru abalim, but if the owners hadn't yet received atonement, and then you find it, let's say, okay? So, and it turned out it had a mum. So if atonement wasn't achieved yet, since potentially this still could have been brought, even though it can't, because it's either the age has passed or it's it got lost, and now it's a bal mum. Tireh ad shetistei v'timacher v'yikru b'damea acheret. Then, since it's not yet a chatat shenitkapu ba'aleha be'acher, it's not that category, so it gets left to graze until it gets a mum, and you sell it and you buy, you can buy another one with it. In other words, since it hasn't yet, right, you can basically, we say, this has kedushat damim to it, its value is sanctified, therefore, right, if it's an animal, just because it's kedushat damim, it still has to go on the mizbeach, so you have to wait till it gets a mum, then you can redeem it, then you can buy a new chatat in its place and use that one, and therefore, if you did tmura, it's effective, and mo'alimba, and there's a din of me'ila. Okay, there's a big debate in this Mishnah. Okay, I read it according to Tosfot's reading, but Rashi reads it differently. Rashi reads it that, you know, this, according to this interpretation, it sounds like it all depends on at what stage you found it, right? And if you find it then, okay, but it's if you find it before, then theoretically you could redeem it. But Rashi's interpretation is that im kipru ba'aleha, it's not im mishe kipru ba'aleha, okay, but it's even if after they receive atonement, Rashi says, if you look in Rashi, he says, im, right, achi tmima, im kipru abalim, it's in dibor matchil shi brashna tavishavda, im kipru abalim ba'acheret shelo ratzulit kaper b'damezo. Okay, in other words, theoretically, they could have found it before, okay, but they decided they didn't want to use it, okay? If they decided they didn't want to use this animal or the money from this animal, right, then we're going to say, then tamut, okay? But according to Tosfot, no, it just depends on what stage you found it in. Had you already received atonement or not, right? Rashi says it depends on what your intention is. If your intention is not to use it anymore, then it's left to die. But if theoretically, you, as if you wanted to use it, then it's not left to die, even though, right, it's, and as it can't be used, and then you'd have to wait, you'd have to leave it to graze, and that. Okay, so there's a bit of a debate about how to read this. So now the Gemara says, Maishna resha de lo kamiflage, umaishna seifa de kamiflage. Why does it start out, the first three, say, no matter what, yamutu, and the last two, she brashna tavashav davanim seipa alat mum, it depends on mishakipru or lo mishakipru, right? It depends. So they say, why did they just not say all those five metot? Okay, and why did they start distinguishing? So they say, resha psikale, seifa lo psikale. As the resha, the din is across the board. It's kind of an obvious answer, right? And the seifa, they distinguish because there's a distinction between the cases, whether Misha Kippur or not Kippur. So now the Gemara says, but Hatana Legabe Tmura. We already learned this in Tmura. So why are you telling us the same Mishnah? Okay, this Mishnah appeared in Tmura. We have the same laws, if you remember them. So the Mishnah appeared in Tmura. So they say, why does it say it here? So they say, Hata Mishum Tmura, Tanahacha Mishum Tmura, Tanahacha Mishum Me'ila. Now there, the context, they wanted to teach you the laws of Tmura. Here they want to focus on the laws of Me'ila. So sometimes, if you remember, we asked the question there also. They said, doesn't it say this in Me'ila? And they said, oh no, right, we wanted the focus here was on the Me'ila, and the focus there was on the Tmura. But once they're telling you that, they may as well tell you all the halachot associated with it.